All right. Thank you, Praise Ben. Appreciate that. All right. If you have children for Children's Church, they're free to head on up one of the aisles there and headed towards Children's Church this morning. And Nat, before I get into the message, I want to share something with you, with one of our church families today. In our church, one of our members is Mitch and Nicole Mila. Wave your hands back here. They're sitting right back over here. And dear couple, they've been faithful servants of the Lord. They also help us around the church here, doing some cleaning and working on the building. So they're in and out of the building many times when I'm here. I always enjoy my conversations with Mitch and Nicole and talking to them about the Lord, talking to them about life. Their daughter, Sarah, has been here on the stage, sang with the praise band, or played the piano for us. And I understand now she's going on to pursue a graduate degree. She's getting ready to graduate at Central Michigan University and graduate from Central. But in one of the conversations one day, I was talking to Nicole there, and they are from Romania. And so, you know, I've had a chance to listen to a lot of their testimony and talking about Romania and how things are in Romania and things in America. And they have a great time. I said, you know, someday you should give your testimony in church. And so today's the day, and she's going to come share testimony. And why that's important, I think she has got a great perspective. Come on up here, Mitch and Nicole. Why don't you come with her, Mitch? You're not saying anything today, but give her the moral support and walk your wife to the platform. Will you do that? You're a gentleman and a scholar, and you'll do that. So just come on up here with her and give her the support we need. But they are from Romania. They go back to Romania, I think, maybe once a year. Come on up. And once or twice a year, and that. But we've talked about America, how great a country America is, and the freedoms that we have, and the privileges that we have, and what makes America great is the Judeo-Christian principles that America was founded upon. About, what is it, 10 days or so from now, less than 10 days, we're facing a national election. There's a lot of things that are on the docket in our election this year, and that, a lot of things. You know, there's crime that's rampant, there's you know, I love it. I've been to New York, been to the Statue of Liberty, and our country is filled with immigrants from all around the world, and that's great. But we do know, and we all know, there's a problem on the southern border and the northern border, if you will, of people coming into the country illegally. And I often think now, you know, they're wanting to come to one of the greatest country in the world. They came in legally. They came in and have a great testimony for Christ. But they're going to share their heart with you today, and whatever God's laid on your heart. And you want to use the pulpit mic? Wait, are we using the pulpit? Are you good for the pulpit mic? If you'll talk right into that, okay. They'll hear you loud and clear. Okay. Hey, good buddy.
Hi, everyone. So we came here in 99 as a legal citizen. So we came with green card, and 5 years later, after the green card, we could apply to become citizens. As a green carder, we could not vote. We have all the rights to purchase a house, to have a job, but not to vote. So it took 5 years. We apply for that, go to the process. We have to study the Constitution and have a test out of that. We passed the test and became citizens. And so that was a process for us to become legal citizens, and we got a certification and all that. Back overseas, I'm coming from an Orthodox family, which I did not have a Bible until I was in my 20s. And when I was in my 20s, I worked in a railroad track station, and one of my coworker, she was a Jehovah's Witnesses. And when we had lunch, she was reading her Bible. And I asked her, where do you have that? And she said, well, I got it from overseas. And she said, I can give you one. So she did. She brought me. This is the Bible I got from her. And she put down in it Joshua 1:8. And that's my first Bible I got in my 20s from a Jehovah's Witnesses. Because we did not have Bible. So we were not allowed to have Bibles. We're like a little booklet, like I would say religious booklets, but not Bibles. So I think just God intervention will be in this time for people to realize if if it will not be the right way, morally right, and everything for people to see, if it go wrong, which direction will go, we may end up with no Bibles, no churches, nothing. So that's my testimony.
When what we got to talking about was the background of the country, what America stands for and what it represents, and them coming from a country that was a socialistic, communistic country, and the difference of the country and the changes that are taking place here in America. We need to pray, really, that that America will stay on track to do the right thing, stand for the right principles, stand for the right conservative values, and stand for the right things. And, you know, I think we take a lot of things for granted in the world that we live in. And we don't want to take the church for granted. We don't want to take our Bibles for granted. And I always appreciate their salvation testimony, their testimony for the Lord, their love for this country. And that this is a great opportunity. The darker the evil is in the world, the darker the times are in the world, is a greater opportunity for us to shed the gospel light wherever we can, and the greater to let that light shine for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an opportunity to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray that you'll pray for America. Pray for that if you're not registered to vote, that you will get registered. It's not too late to do that, that you will register, and that you will vote and carry out your responsibility as a citizen and be a part of that. We're coming down to a very important election, and I pray that you'll be a part of that and that you'll vote, and that do your homework and make sure that the Holy Spirit leads you, guides you, and directs you. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach today on God's still small voice. I'm going to show you. Go to John chapter 10. That's where we were at last Sunday morning. But we're going to take our main text today out of 1 Kings, if you will, 1 Kings chapter 19. But I want to just remind you of last Sunday we preached a message on the Good Shepherd, and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us a parable of the Good Shepherd, and I love how he put the parable there just as a reminder of what we focused on last Sunday in John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said to them as he spake this parable, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. I, Jesus said, am the good shepherd," in verse 14. "I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Talking about here the parable that Jesus taught of the Good Shepherd, and I shared with you last week to make sure that you pay attention and that you listen to the right voices. There's a lot of things going on in our world that we live in today. And when you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to share this with you today, that God in the Old Testament spoke in a still small voice. He also does that today, speaking in a still small voice. He is the Good Shepherd. When you look here, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 19, to get a little bit of the idea of the story and the setting behind it. I don't know about you, but I've always loved the Old Testament. And always loved, here we find this during the time of Elijah, the prophet of God. And one of the things that I've always learned in the Bible, no matter when times got tough and evil days hit, God always raised up a prophet or a teacher or someone to be able to share his message or share his light. And here Elijah was that messenger during this time. It was here in 1 Kings, in the prior chapter to that, in chapter 18, that Ahab, the most wicked king here in the land, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, raised up idolatry and idolatrous gods. And it was here that in chapter 18 that Elijah confronted those false gods, and they're on Mount Carmel. And it was really Jehovah God against the false idolatrous gods. And there they stood on Carmel, and God, through Elijah, called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifices and showed them the power that God has. We need to pray that really God will show himself strong, and that we need, with all the voices in the world that's going on, that we listen to that still, small voice. I want you to see what happened to Elijah here, because when you get to this text of Scripture, look at it in 1 Kings chapter 19. And remember, keep in mind that prior to this, Elijah had just had some great victories. Elijah had just confronted Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah had just come off the mountaintop experience. But Jezebel was after him now to try to kill him. And so look what happens here in chapter 19 of verse 1. And Ahab, which is the king of Israel, there told Jezebel, who was the queen, all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Those were the false prophets, the idol worshippers and that. And then Jezebel here sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods, notice that now, small g, gods, idolatrous gods, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, went for his life, and came to Beersheba. When it says he went for his life, he's basically fleeing from Jezebel, and which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came, and he sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Now, you got to think about it. I can't imagine this. Here's a prophet that just challenged King Ahab and Jezebel and confronted idolatry and the evil of his day. And now, because he's being pursued, now because his life is, he gets discouraged, and now he flees. And the Bible says even so that he requested, Lord, that I might die. And he says, and it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel, I love this now, an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And verse 8 says, and he arose, and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out, stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said unto him, go, return in thy way into the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mola shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him. And so he departed, Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father, my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered to him. A lot of things going on in this chapter. And what you find when you get to this chapter in the Bible, you find that here's a prophet of God that got utterly discouraged. Really just had come off of some mountaintop experiences, confronted Ahab to his face, confronted Jezebel to her face, had conquered the prophets of Baal, had torn down their idol worship and their false gods, and really stood for Jehovah God. But then he finds out Jezebel has a desire to go after him, to slay him, and so what does he do? He runs. And here Elijah fled to Mount Horeb, and basically where in verse 4 the Bible says that he asked God, "Just let me die." Sometimes maybe somebody gets so discouraged or so despondent, and here's the prophet of God, got to the point where they say, "Lord, I don't want to live anymore. The trial is too hard, the test is too hard, the circumstances are too difficult. Just let me die." That's where Elijah found himself. He found himself in saying here, "Lord, just let me die." You know, but God teaches here Elijah a great lesson, that God is not in the wind, God is not in the earthquake, God is not in the fire, but God is in, verse 11 and 12, that still, small voice. And when you are his child, born again by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates your heart and converts you to Christ, you now, your spirit beareth witness with his spirit, and God's Holy Spirit speaks to us, and you need to push out the voices and the troubles and the difficulties and all the things of the world and listen to God's still, small voice. Whatever you're going through, whatever the challenges of life you're going through. Here it happened to be with Elijah. He's trying to get away from Jezebel, who's trying to take his life, and now he runs for his life. So here, you know, it's interesting because his ministry was pretty spectacular. Here was a man that called down fire and from heaven. He literally one time shut up the heavens through his prayers. Elijah was sustained by the ravens. Elijah had raised the dead to life. Elijah had called that fire down from heaven. He'd even slain the prophets of Baal with a sword. And Elijah had brought rain to the land. So it seems like God here was telling Elijah, and while the forces of creation and spectacular demonstrations of power are sometimes necessary by reason of a crisis, and God can do whatever God chooses to do. But God's real work in the world is not accomplished by such methods as that. But God sometimes does and sometimes calls men to do things that are utterly contrary to God's nature to do. So God here speaks to Elijah in that still small voice. I had somebody ask me that here just a short while back. Said, "Has God ever spoken to you where you could audibly hear him?" And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I've been saved a long time." I said, "And the voice of God I can hear. I can hear many times that still, small voice and the Holy Spirit speaking to you in good times and bad, and especially in certain circumstances." But no, you can't. I can't say that there's an audible voice that comes over a loudspeaker somewhere that says, you know, could God do that if he chose to do so? Absolutely. But God chooses to speak to you and I in that still small voice, and you can be sure it's very distinct and it's very clear when he speaks. So we find here later on, Elijah later on appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with the Lord Jesus Christ of the work that now at last was being introduced to them here on earth and transforming of human lives into the image of God in that still small voice. So in this lesson here today, or in this sermon today, I want to share with you a few interesting thoughts. One is the miracle here that God used, bringing angels to feed him with food. Secondly, the miracles of God, it really is God's voice speaking to Elijah. And thirdly, the miracle of fire from heaven, and then the miracle eventually that God in 2 Kings chapter 2 translated Elijah and took him to heaven. Elijah is one of only two men never to see death. So let's look at it here in verse 1 of chapter 19, the miracle here of the angels feeding Elijah. This became a tragic period here in the life of Elijah. Elijah was a man just like we are from a human standpoint. So, you know, sometimes we look at Bible characters like David or like Abraham or Isaac or Joseph or whatever, or Elijah or Enoch or whoever it is, and we think, well, they were unique. They're different. That's a different time in history. No, they're human just like you and I. Elijah was no different than you and I. He was subject to discouragement. He was subject to fear. He was subject to anxiety, and many times it might be preyed upon a physical weakness. So here in verse 4, it says in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19 that Elijah came to this juniper tree. He requested to die. This is the same man that put his finger in King Ahab's face and made him literally shake, and that's the same man that did those miracles and defeated the prophets of Baal. So Elijah is a man of like passions like you and I. David is a man of like passions like you and I. Peter was a man of like passions like you and I. No different than any other Bible character down through the Bible days. You know, when you think about it, you know, some people are natural born pessimists and others, you know, get that way sometimes. But we find here that in Elijah's case, you know, he was so optimistic and doing the work of God and then transitioned to where he got so discouraged, so despondent, so beside himself that he didn't want to live any longer. You know, I find it interesting that I read a quote the other day that said, "But I always feel the worst when I feel the best because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I'm getting to feeling bad again." And think about that. The optimist sees the rose of every thorn. Here, the pessimist sees the thorn in every rose. I would say to you here that Elijah saw, if you will, the rose in every thorn. He saw the good. He saw the challenge, was able to defeat the prophets of Baal and able to do what God sent him there to do. And then shortly after that, it's like seeing the thorn first, or seeing the bad in everything. And so the reason for Elijah's failure and defeat here is, I think, here in the scripture, was he became physically tired. He just physically wore out. He'd experienced a grueling time physically, psychologically, emotionally. Elijah is now in the city of Jezreel, where Jezebel here holds a sway, and the city ruled and controlled by the ungodly. And he's no longer flanked by that crowd that he had at Mount Carmel, but he knows here on Mount Carmel, there he cried out, "The Lord, it is the Lord, He is God." And many times we see Christians who at one time had a high devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ, great victories in their life, great experiences in their life, but then they allow the pressures of life to overwhelm them. And when that happens, they become just like any other person, any other man, any other woman. It can happen to the best of them. It happened to Elijah. You know, I've seen it time and time again down through the years of over 50 years of ministry. Many times people, young people, will go to winter retreats or summer camps. They'll get on fire for God, and before too long, they'll come back into the real world and the pressures of real life and the real situation of living, and all of a sudden, that fire burns out. Elijah found himself in that situation here. Paul said, "Take heed when a man thinketh he stand, that he falls." Never feel like you can master a situation. You could be mistaken. Do not take your eyes off of the Lord. What happened between chapter 18 and chapter 19 in 1 Kings? Elijah, for a moment of time, in a moment of discouragement, in a moment of despair, in a moment of heartache, in a moment of being pursued, in a moment of struggle, took his eyes off the Lord, decided to run, decided to hide, then decided to ask God to take his life. And it's so easy, it can happen to the best of people. And, you know, that's what Peter did after walking on the water. Remember that? Remember how bold Peter was when he got out on the water and started walking on the water? Then he took his eyes off of the Lord, decided to look on the circumstances around him, and began to sink. Elijah, really here in the Bible, really had an exaggerated sense of himself. You notice how he wears the personal pronoun "I" there so many times. That happens to so many people, whether it be pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, lay people, whatever, have great potential, but they get an exaggerated sense of themselves, and many times feeling them to be. Elijah said this, "I have been very," notice what Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. I thought we had them subdued. Lo, they seek my life. And I love what Elijah said here. I'm the only one left. I'm not better than my fathers. Elijah thought he had fought and won the battle on Mount Carmel, perhaps maybe all by himself. No, it was God that won the battle on Mount Carmel. And if you have any victories in your life, if you have anything to overcome, and discouragement and despair and heartache and pain and struggle, it is God that gives you the victories. You and I are really nobody. God is special in the fact that He's the one that can work through us. He's the one that gave the victories on Mount Carmel. The second thing I want you to see here is that, interesting here about Elijah, is Jezebel had threatened to kill him. So what did he do? He ran for his life. If God could take care of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, don't you think God can take care of Jezebel? And he does. I think the interesting thing also here is that Elijah came to the juniper tree here, tired and exhausted, and he prayed to die. But notice what happened here in the scripture. The Bible says that he fell asleep. What a blessing that is. You know, sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Dr. Odom used to always teach us this theory. He used to say, you know, guys, sometimes you're going to get discouraged. Sometimes you're going to feel like quitting. Sometimes you're going to feel like it's overwhelming and the odds are against you. He said, never, never, never quit on the bottom side. He said, wait until you get back up when things are on the mountain or when things are good. Then take a fresh look at where you're at. Or if you need to come aside and rest if you will. That's what Elijah did. Elijah found himself exhausted. You can't make good decisions, I don't think, good godly spiritual decisions, in a state of being wore out, exhausted, spiritually despondent, having yourself stretched to no end. If you need to, rest. Come aside to rest. And here, Elijah found himself in a very difficult situation. And so we find here what a blessing it is. You know, sleep and food are two essential things. Basically, what he's saying here, Elijah's body needs to be rebuilt. He needed food to be able to overcome the exhaustion. And so the angel arouses Elijah the second time again and says, Elijah then eats and then goes to Mount Horeb. He's strengthened and he gets a fresh look at what God wants him to do. I don't know about you, but I'll just be honest with you. There are certain times over the journey in the life of a Christian, you may get to the point where you say, you know what? Today's not a good day. Today's not a good day for me to make any mental, serious decisions today. I need a time of rest. I need a time to recharge. I need a time to eat, sleep, whatever you got to do, a time to come aside and then be able to reassess and reevaluate where you're at and then make some good decisions. Never make when you're in discouragement, when you're in despondent, when you're wore out, when you're frazzled, when you, when you're not thinking clearly, get yourself to the point where you can think clearly. Here in chapter 19, Elijah was not thinking clearly. Notice, if you will, also here, the miracle that takes place of God's voice speaking to Elijah. I like how this happened here. The earthquake came, but God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the wind that preceded the earthquake. God was not in the fire. And then comes that still, small voice. That unmistakable voice. Elijah knew it was the voice of God speaking to his heart. This was the soul-searching voice. Elijah tries to reason why he's there. And God tells him, really, to get busy. No time for self-pity. No time for self-persecution. God tells Elijah to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu to be anointed king over Israel. God also tells Elijah to anoint Elisha to be the prophet instead of him, because he would soon be gone. God also told him that he indicated that he had 7,000 prophets that did not bow their knee to Baal. You know, one thing I always find interesting, God is amazing in so many ways. But in the darkest of times, in the darkest of days, God always, in the challenge of time, keeps his remnant alive, or keeps his message alive, or keeps whatever it is alive to be able to get done what he needs to do. And here it was, he didn't know this, but God had kept this remnant alive and well and ready to be used. So God tells him, get busy, Elijah. No time for this. And God indicates here that Elijah was not and has not been alone all through that. You know, sometimes when you're going through the fire, sometimes when you're going through the discouragement, sometimes when you're going through the depression. I had a pastor friend of mine here in Michigan that pastored. He's in heaven now. And every once in a while he'd call and he'd say, hey, man, you got time for lunch? I say, sure, I always got time to go to lunch with you. And so we get together, meet at a Bob Evans, and sit down. He said, man, I am going, and he was a pastor of a church. So I'm going through some of the darkest, deepest depression, discouragement, almost clinical depression. And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I'm just discouraged. I want to quit. Not only that, he said, I feel like I want to just let God take my life. And he really fought his way through that. And time again, he and I would get together. We just sit and talk. 2 hours later, we end up and leave and go along the way. And then he would also get some other help along the way. Sometimes people get in the middle of discouragement. Sometimes it'll go to depression. Sometimes it'll go to deep, dark clinical depression and that. And we find here there's always a solution, and God is the solution. And so, you know, we don't stand alone. And sometimes we think we're all alone. We can't get out of this. It's too difficult. It's too challenging. It's too painful. God is right there all the way through whatever is your. He has not deserted you. He's still. We need to hear his still, small voice. Get alone with him and he'll speak to us. We need to hear his voice when illness touches the body. And this is always a great time of spiritual danger. That can be a time of doubt, and you know, we can become discouraged or depressed or disheartened or weary. Illness many times will bring idleness. And that will give the devil an opportunity to work in our lives if you're not careful. We need to hear the voice of God when discouragement comes to our soul. We need to hear the voice of God when all the forces around us seem to be arrayed against us. We need to hear the voice of God when there is work to be done. So I would say to you today, my friend, there's a lot going on in the world out there today. And you need to push aside all the voice out there and listen to God's still, small voice that can speak to your heart, whatever you're going through, whatever the challenges are, and pray about and seek his will and seek his direction, and he will lead you and he will guide you in all things. I think the next miracle we see in Elijah right here is the miracle that he sent fire from heaven. During this interval, Elijah, several things happened. The call and the anointing happened here of Elisha. Down in verse 19, we read it there. And Elisha. Then he had the encounter with King Ahab, and then King Ahaziah took Ahab's place and demanded that Elijah come down. And the king thought that he was the supreme power. You know, it's really interesting. We're going to vote in about 10 days here for an election to put a new president in the White House. These are critical days. If there's ever been a time to pray, you need to pray. I pray that you've been praying, but I pray you need to pray even more and even need to pray, and you definitely need to be registered to vote, and you definitely need to vote. Either vote early or vote November 5th. There's so much at stake in this national election. You need to be tuned in. You need to vote. You need to do your homework. You need to be prepared and pray like you've never prayed before. We need to hear that still small voice from God, and that God would speak and put his hand and keep his hand. I tell you what, we don't want to go there. You don't want to be there if God turns his back and takes his blessings away and takes his hand off and you can't hear his voice no more. That's not the place you want to go. That's not the place you want to be. Elijah got to a place here that was pretty discouraging, pretty disheartening, and that is realizing that he was in a challenging time. You know, it's interesting here. Even two groups of 50 soldiers each went up after Elijah, and both groups were killed with fire from heaven, the Bible says. And that is a judgment of God, not a judgment of Elijah. This happening is a preview of that greater judgment that will come unto all who forget God. I want you to keep in mind that all things that happen in this world that we live in will come under God's judgment. All things, good and bad, good and evil, will come under God's judgment. For the believer, for you and I that are saved, will come under the judgment seat of Christ. And that'll be a different judgment than the great white throne judgment that God will judge all the unbelieving, non-believing world and all those that forget God. So two different judgments. And God will judge all the nations of the earth. So all things, and so nothing is catching God by surprise by all that's going on in the world we live in. Here, Israel's king was guilty of high treason against God. Let me show you this. Go over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. And then we find the fourth miracle that really happened here in the life of Elijah. So interesting to see that Elijah was, even as great a prophet as he was, and even being the prophet that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, that God chose one day just to translate him and take him to heaven. Look at it here, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it, and hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah, here it is now, took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters that were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Never saw death, and God translated him. Elijah and Elisha had traveled together to this place. Many incidents took place along the way, and when they reached Jordan here, Elijah, in the sight of the 50 prophets, took his mantle, smote the waters divided, and that was just another series of miracles surrounding the last days here on the earth. And once over Jordan, he tells Elisha, here he said, ask anything he desires from him before he's taken up, and Elisha, ask only for a double portion of the Spirit of God. And Elijah replied that if Elisha saw him ascend, that Elisha would get what he asked for. And suddenly there appears that chariot of fire. Horses part of the two prophets. Elijah was taken to heaven, not the chariot, but in a whirlwind. Elijah then appeared later on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah here in the Bible is a type of the saints that will be translated to heaven when Christ comes the second time. Here's an Old Testament picture of what's going to happen in the New Testament and in the future that you and I are living in. Let me show it to you, and we'll close the service with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Elijah of old, here in the Bible, the man that confronted Ahab, the man that confronted Jezebel, the man that defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, then got so discouraged and so despondent that he asked God to take his life. Took his eyes off the Lord for a little bit, and then got things straightened out and come back to the Lord. But we find here in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you get down, if you will, in verse 13, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that means them which have died. Here this last week we had a funeral. That was Betty Scudelaric, one of our church family members here. Later in the ground, I told the family, I said, she's not really dead. The Bible says she's just asleep for a little while, waiting on the resurrection day. Here the Bible says, concerning them which are asleep, which are dead, those that have passed, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, here it is now, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive. Verse 17, we which are alive. Elijah was alive when he was resurrected and taken up to be with the Lord. He wasn't resurrected from the dead. He was alive. And then we which are alive here at the second coming of the rapture shall remain, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Elijah here of old, great prophet. God used him in a very powerful way. But it was a man that listened to The voice of God is not in the earthquake. It's not in the mountains. It's not in the fire. It's not in the wind. It's not in all that. It's in that still, small voice. And if you're a believer today, a child of God, you know Him and you have a relationship with Him and His witness, Spirit beareth witness with your spirit, you can listen to that still, small voice of God. Next time you get that medical report, listen to that still, small voice of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to your heart. He'll talk to you. He'll lead you. And you say, Pastor, it will be in an audit. No, it will be through the Spirit of God that He'll speak to you, His heart to your heart, and He'll definitely, and you'll know it's of the Lord. The Bible says there are many spirits in the world. Try the spirits, and that which be of God. There is only one Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit of God. But we live in a world today where you need to bear witness and to understand today that in our lifetime, your spirit can understand clearly the communication between the Holy Spirit of God to your heart and to your life as He gives us the truth of His Word. And this day and age today, my friend, there's never been a greater time than we need to listen to the voice of God. And one of these days, we know for sure that when He comes back, you will know Him and He will know you. And you, the Bible says, the dead shall be raised first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up to go to meet the Lord in the air. And that's what the Scripture teaches. Elijah is a picture, an Old Testament picture of a New Testament event that's getting ready to happen, I believe, soon and very soon. The key is, are you ready and are you prepared for that event? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for the message of Elijah. We thank You for this great prophet of old. Thank You for his testimony, for his leadership. Thank You for what he provided during some dark, evil, terrible, horrible days in the life of Israel. Confronting sin head on, confronting those prophets of Baal, confronting evil at Mount Carmel, and calling down fire from heaven, consuming that very place and the idol worship that was there. Oh God, today may we stand upon the promises of our Jehovah God and believing in Him and trusting in You for all things. God, may Your Spirit speak to our spirit. May Your voice be audible and clear. And God, may You speak directly to our hearts. And God, today, if there's one person here today that's not yet saved, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if they'll just open their heart today and trust You and believe in You, put your faith, their faith and trust in You, and ask forgiveness and repent of their sin, that they can believe in You, God, that Your Spirit will speak to their heart today. Save the lost, and Holy Spirit today, just lead us, guide us, direct us. Comfort those that need comforting today. Help those that are discouraged today. Help those that are so despondent and discouraged and even maybe thinking about giving up like Elijah did. God, that still small voice is what speaks to our hearts at the time that we need it the most. Speak to us today, dear Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, if you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and trust Him for salvation, is all you got to do is believe in Him. Recognize that you're a sinner and trust Him for eternal life. If you'd like to do that today, just pray this right where you sit today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. And God, today I repent of my sin and I ask Jesus to come into my heart. And with my mouth, make confession today, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. God, today, I believe. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. My friend, if you're here and you prayed that in your heart, today, we'd be glad to pray with you, be glad to help you in any way that we can. If you prayed that by listening by live stream today, please get a hold of us. We'd love to talk with you more about that with the Lord today. My friend, listen to God's Holy Spirit, His still, small voice, as He speaks to you. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, and obey Him, trust Him. If you need to come to pray, we can pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. If you're coming for salvation, you want to come to join the church, for sure, we're getting close to this. Continue to pray that God's will be done on this national election coming up in 10 days from now. So much at stake in our country. As the Holy Spirit leads, you come as Rosalind leads us today in invitation. Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Come every soul, he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word.
Give you rest by trusting.
Verse, if you will, Roz, just a moment. And I want to encourage those today that with so much at stake in our country, I thought maybe today and next Sunday will be November the 3rd. Your time changes next Sunday, by the way. Don't forget to change that. But I wonder today if anybody would be willing to join me here at the altar. We'll close the service today by praying for our country, the elections, the nation as a whole. And if you feel led of God, just come. Join me here at the altar. I'll close the service today as we pray for America, pray for these elections. As Rosalind leads us in another verse of invitation today, just step out. If you want to sit on the front row, you can. You want to kneel at the altar, you can. But come, we're going to pray for America before we close the service today. If you would lead us, Roz.
For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow.
Only trust him.
Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we thank you for a praying church. God, we thank you for a people that love you, desire to hear from you. God, we desire to hear your still, small voice speak to us through your word. And day by day, God, there are many that are going through the challenges, perhaps some discouraged, some going through medical issues, some have family issues, some have maybe financial issues, whatever challenge in their life, God, may you lead them and comfort them and help them and guide them and direct them. God, we pray for America today. Pray for our country. We pray for President Biden. We pray for Vice President Kamala Harris. We pray for the candidates, J.D. Vance, and we pray for past President, President Trump. God, we pray for all the senators that are running for election. We pray for the House members. We pray for those up and down the ticket, up and down our land, up and down our country. God, we want what you want. May your voice speak to us in a clear and definite way. And God, we pray for your hand upon America. Pray for your hand upon the candidates. God, we pray for those that you would put into office in the White House, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, in the Capitol building in Lansing, and all the Capitol buildings around America. God, we pray for the governors throughout all the states across this great land. God, may we lift the banner high. May we pray like we've never prayed before. God, we seek your voice. We seek your hand. We repent of our sin. And we'd ask that you would come into our hearts in this nation, God, and draw people back to you. God, we know many here are already saved and know you as personal Lord and Savior. But God, we pray for the lost. We pray that while we have time still on our hands here, that we would do all that we could in our ability to get the gospel message to that next lost person that needs to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Oh God, speak to our politicians. Speak to our leaders. And God, we know that you raise up kings and queens. You raise up presidents and leaders. You raise up people to lead the nation. God, we want what you want. And we'll search your will, seek your direction. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.